Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, young folk. Wonderful singing. Mark chapter number 6. And I'm glad I can look back in my life. And I'm not always, and you're not, and none of us are everything we ought to be all the time. But I'm glad Jesus made a change in my life. Amen. Before Christ and since Christ. Amen. It's two different lives. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that wondrous truth they just sung about. Mark chapter number 6, is stand together and we'll get right after it and bring you the message we have for you this morning. Excited just to magnify the Lord to you today. And He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. And as we've been studying the gospel according to Mark in the life of Christ, I'm glad that what He was all those 2,000 years ago, He still is to us today. And you say, well, He ain't among us. No, it's even better than that. He's not just among us, He's in us. Amen. He's in us. And that's even closer than what they had. Somebody said, well, if I could have heard Him preach, if I could have saw Him walk on this earth, I would have believed Him. No, you wouldn't. Amen. They didn't. The majority of them didn't. 2,000 years ago didn't. And He has promised to be in us and among us and that. And I'm telling you, He is as real as He's ever been.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm thankful to the Lord for His ministry in our life. Let's look at this. We've already preached through these first 6.5 chapters, I guess now. We'll begin reading this morning where we left off on last Sunday. Look in verse 33. The Bible said, and the people saw them departing. Remember on last week, Christ's disciples have come back to Him from their campaign of going and preaching the message of the kingdom. And in their excitement and their zeal and their joy, Christ says, we need to come apart and rest a while. And so they departed there in verse 32. The Bible said the people saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of all cities. And out went them and came together unto Him. Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is far past. The Bible said in verse 36, here's what they said, send them away that they may go into the country round about and in the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before them. The 2 fishes divided He among them all. They did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they, listen to this, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. You say, preacher, you don't believe that. I believe every word of it. So that's impossible, not with God. It's impossible for you. Amen. Sissy is in the culinary world, does a lot of cooking and feeds a lot of people. Even Sissy Ivy could not feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But it was no problem for the Savior. So you believe that? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. You say, well, I don't believe it. That's because you don't believe the Bible. I'm a Bible believer, and so if it's in there, Brother Mike, I believe it. Whether I can understand it or wrap my little human mind around it, I believe everything we just read, exactly like the King James Bible has it said. I want to preach this morning for just a little while on the thought, our sympathetic Savior. Our sympathetic Savior. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning and we're thankful the privilege we've had, Lord, just to come in the house of God, sit among the people of the Lord. Lord, to feel in this place called the house of God. Lord, to know that we enter into this place and know the presence of the Lord in that corporate way, in that real way that, Lord, you desire, Lord, for us to know in public worship. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. They've stirred our heart. We're thankful, Lord, the songs about salvation, the songs about what Christ did. Lord, the songs, Lord, that have reminded us, Lord, as we live by faith, our God truly is sufficient. Lord, as we've sung about these truths, Lord, now we're going to try to preach about it for a little while. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, fill us, Lord, in every way. Let us know the power, the filling of the Spirit of God. Lord, as we preach this morning, Lord, we're tired in body, tired in mind, weak in so many ways. But Lord, one more time, we're depending on you, Lord, to take us beyond ourselves. And Lord, use us today to be a help and a blessing. Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. And all that you do, Lord, in this service, we'll thank you for it. Help us to make Jesus big. And Lord, all you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark, we've made our way here to chapter number 6. We understand there's a lot of activity that has been taking place. Christ has gone to his hometown city and taught on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. They rejected him. They literally ran him out of town. And yet he went to other places and found other people that wanted his ministry. He sent out the 12 and sent them into the community there in the upper region of the land of Israel in the days of Christ, known as the region of Galilee. They have gone and they have preached. They've been successful by the power of the Spirit of God. And they have stirred the communities and the villages and the lands and the hillsides about the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many things have been going on. Great multitudes have been reached in so many aspects, in so many ways. And now Christ is leading his apostles, his disciples away that they might find some rest from the weariness of the ministry. And they've been so full of ministry and serving and preaching and miracles that that Christ finds it important that they steal away, find some leisure, find some nourishment, and find some rest that they might be able to do further ministry in the days that are ahead. In our verses we've read this morning, beginning in verse number 33, the people, that is the crowds that have been impacted, the crowds that have heard the message be preached, the crowds that have been drawn to the Savior, they watch as he and his disciples get in a boat and they watch the direction they're sailing. We understand that as they are sailing, this large crowd begins to seek for a place that they might intersect Christ in his ministry and his place one more time. It's interesting to me, in verse number 33, the Bible said the people saw them departing. They had their eyes upon him. They had their attention set upon him that they might find where he was going to be. And the Bible said they outwent them. That is, as they ran afoot, they went faster on land than Christ and his disciples were able to sail across the sea. And so I see here there is an excitement in their heart. There is within them a desire that they would be with him where he is. Some things I'll say this morning about this crowd and this multitude to get us to our thought. But I find here that we could say this morning, these in the multitude, they were a searching people. You say, what do you mean? They're willing to leave their own familiar surroundings. They're willing to leave their villages. They're willing to depart all the comforts of home and their friends that
they might simply go somewhere where their needs could be met. The fact that they were willing to leave where they were to go where Jesus was tells me they were not satisfied where they were. Their hearts were not full there. Their lives were not filled to the brim in where they were. And so they depart where they are to go where Jesus is. I want to say this morning that as we look about our world, it is filled with a searching people. Amen. People who are unsatisfied. People that, amen, are longing for more. Amen. They're not necessarily all running. They don't know really what they're running to or what they're trying to find. They try to find it in the parties, in the pool halls, in the dance halls, and they try to find it in the places of ill repute, in the places of sin. They try to find it on a ball court or on a ball field that they are searching for. And so they're searching. They're searching people. Amen. Longing for more than they know. Amen. Do you remember the day you was in that crowd? Amen. A searching. You didn't know what you're searching for. Amen. But then you found Christ. Amen. He came into your life. Amen. And as Brother Mike reminded me of the great song, that old song, amen, the old timers used to sing, "Hallelujah, I have found Him." Amen. All my life long I had wondered. Amen. Searching for something to satisfy. Amen. I believe that's where these people are. Amen. A searching people. A people that is longing for, amen, what they have heard this man named Jesus can do. And so I see they are a searching people. Notice with me, there's an observation that is made in verse 34. That as they are searching, Christ notices, and is paid close attention to in his mind, what he saw was a people that were like sheep having no shepherd. I noted here this week in our meditation on these verses, they're not only a searching people, but they are a scattered people. Amen. They were scattered. They're coming literally from every way, in every walk of life, in every class of life. Amen. Are just aimlessly wandering about in Christ. Amen. When he saw them, paid close attention and noted that it was though they were a scattered people. I thought about that as sheep having no shepherd. Amen. This means they had no direction. Amen. They had no direction. They had no purpose. Amen. They're just going here and there and to and fro. Amen. They're stumbling around in the way. Amen. Boy, we can preach there in this generation. Amen. Especially this generation coming on the shade. Amen. In our day, they are a people, amen, that are scattered with no direction. Amen. They don't know the meaning of life. They don't know the goals, anything about goals. Amen. They just aimlessly go through life eating Tide Pods and, amen, all those other sorts of stupid things that, amen, this crowd does in our day because, amen, they have no direction. Amen. I thought about this, that, amen, sheep having no shepherd, that means they had no discernment. Amen. They were not able to discern where they were. They are not able to discern danger. They were not able to discern even their own needs. You understand? That sheep, by nature, they're not known for their wisdom and their smarts. Amen. Are absolutely dependent upon a shepherd and his brain and his wisdom and his knowledge to, amen, direct their life. Amen. Boy, we're living in a generation. Amen. They are scattered people with no discernment. Amen. No discernment about life. No discernment about history. Amen. If they read it on Google, they accept it as though it is gospel. Amen. But can I remind you today, amen, that you and I, amen, we need somebody who is wiser than Google. Amen. Wiser than the greatest forms of AI that are available to mankind today. Amen. We need the wisdom of Almighty God. Amen. In this crowd, in all their foolishness and in all their sin, my friend, are as a sheep having no shepherd. I thought about this and tells me that, amen, there was no defense, that, amen, they were subject to all the dangers that were around them. Amen. Christ seen them going through the desert place and the wilderness. Amen, a searching people, and yet they were scattered. And, amen, he was aware of the dangers and the robbers and the wolves. And, amen, and all the things they were subject to that could have destroyed their life. Amen, and he notes there are sheep having no shepherd. Amen, I'm reminded of the generation I'm preaching to this morning. Amen, that they do not even realize how defenseless they are. Amen. When it comes to life, and especially the spiritual aspect of life, amen, you can arm yourself with knives and guns and grow your muscles. And, amen, learn all the martial arts that are. You can be big and bad. And, amen. But spiritually today, if you're without Christ, amen, you are of that scattered people that, amen, has no defense against eternity. No defense against sin. No defense against hellfire. Amen. No defense against the things it longed to. Amen. Destroy your life. That great adversary of mankind. And Jesus said that was a thief. And that he cometh for but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. And Jesus looked down and he seen a crowd of scattered people with no defense. Amen. This matter, the fact that they were sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Scattered people, they had no diet. Amen. Sheep, my friend, they don't know where the food is. They have to be led to the food. Amen. If left to themselves, they'll eat all sorts of sawbriars. Amen. Things that will be destructive to them. And cause sickness and malnourishment. Amen. They need a shepherd that, amen, will lead them to green pasture. That, amen, will lead them beside still waters. That, amen, lead them to some places. That, amen, they can feast on things. That, amen, will keep them healthy and make them strong. But, amen, when Christ seen this mass of a multitude coming, amen, he said they're scattered. And, amen, he's seen them in their weakness. And he's seen them as unhealthy. He's seen them, amen, spiritually malnourished because, amen, of the diet that they had in their life. Amen, I think about all the things that this generation is feasting on. Amen, all the sin and all the pleasure and all the entertainment and all the things that, amen, are eating away at their soul, the pornography they're feasting on, that, amen, all the lustful desires that, amen, they give themselves to, that, amen, they think is going to sustain them, but it just leaves them, my friend, that, malnourished and lost, that, amen, no, nothing spiritually satisfying. Amen, to their heart and to their life. Amen, this is what Christ saw. Amen, a people that was scattered as sheep having no shepherd.
Amen. Right.
So they are a searching people and a scattered people. What I want to deal with this morning is the phrase will center all these verses we read today around this thought that they really were in the heart of Christ, as it were. They were a stirring people. You say, what do you mean? Notice what the Bible said again in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, I take that to mean came out of the boat. You see, they have outwent, they have outrun Christ. Amen. They're searching and they're scattered. Amen. They're all over the hillside. Amen. In fact, there's so many of them. The Bible said there was about 5,000 men. And you read what Matthew and Luke and John said about this account. Amen. That literally means there were 5,000 men beside the women and the children that were there. And so there has been estimated at least 10,000 and upwards to possibly and more than likely 15,000 maybe. Amen. A number greater than 20,000 people. And when Christ looked out, He seen them, amen, all over the seashore and on the hillsides, amen, just aimlessly floating around and in danger. Amen. The Bible said that, amen, He came out, He saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them. They stirred the heart of the Savior. You say, but preacher, hey, He's headed for a few days of rest. He is headed for a few days of relaxation. He's getting away for a few days. He's already been with great crowds. He's already been, amen, with them and their families. And yet He's seen them that still had need. And still, my friend, were searching it. And still were without His saving power. And my friend, He was stirred in His heart. Amen. In fact, I wrote it down this way. They stirred the heart of Christ and moved Him, the Bible said, to compassion. Amen. Let me give you a few things. And this ain't deep this morning and I won't be long, but amen, we're going to kind of back up out of this text and take a broad picture and look at it. But amen, we'll focus in on the word compassion. Amen, when the Bible said that Christ was moved with compassion toward them. Amen, compassion literally means to be moved inwardly. Amen, that is, He felt something on the inside. Amen, this is not a love, this is not an affection. Amen, that is known in the world. They're crazy forms of love. Amen, Brother Tim said it right on last week that, amen, what many have termed as love is nothing more than lust. Amen, and then this generation does not understand the difference. Amen, but Christ was moved with compassion. Amen, He was moved on the inside. Amen, He was moved down in the depths of His heart. Amen, His heart was moved toward them. The word compassion, amen, literally means to yearn with tender mercy, affection, pity, and empathy. Amen. To yearn with tender mercy. Amen. Christ, when He looked out and He saw the shape that they were in. Amen. When He saw them scattered and searching. Amen. There was something on the inside called mercy. Amen. They began to want to do something for them and their need. Amen. Oh, I'm glad He was moved for them. I'm glad the Word of God, I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord, amen, led Mark to know that, amen, this crowd, listen, these are not wealthy people. In fact, the Bible said, amen, that at mealtime when they were hungry, they had nothing. Amen, they had nothing to offer the Savior. Amen, He couldn't pass the collection plate and get anything out of them on that day. These are the poor, common people of His day. Amen, these are people who are needy. These are people in other tanks that Sam were sick and in need of healing. Amen, these were people that, amen, had spent everything that they had. And Christ knew where they were. He knew how they felt. And yet the Bible said mercy again to move inside of Him. Amen, to want to do something about the need they had in their life. This is the Savior's compassion. Amen. Amen. I'm glad this morning the Word of God teaches you and I that He is full of mercy. That His mercy never runs dry. His mercy never runs out. Amen. I mean thousands and thousands of years ago. Amen. It was David that my friend said His mercy endureth to all generations. Amen. And so this morning He has moved with of tender mercy, moved with affection. Amen. There's a pity on the inside of him as he looks at where they are and what they need. Amen. And he knows if they don't get it from him, amen, they're not going to get it from their religious leaders. They are not going to find it in the Pharisees and Sadducees at the Roman Empire and all their handouts. Amen. All their government cheese and checks. Amen. Will never be enough to satisfy them. Amen. And Jesus, amen, was moved with compassion because he knew I am the only one that can do for them what they need done. Move with compassion. Amen. Empathy. He was sympathetic to their need. And he is that he was not only able to see and be aware of what they were feeling, he felt it alongside them. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad the Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. Amen. I believe it is, and we have not. He uses a double negative, which makes it a positive. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. He feels our weakness. He is so in tune to the individual, not just the masses. Amen. But every individual in the crowd, he knew exactly what they needed. He knew exactly, my friend, what their issue was. Amen. And he was moved for them individually. Amen. He was moved. I love that word. He was moved. Amen. Moved with compassion. Amen. Men, and in our humanity and in Christ's humanity, amen, he was able to be moved. Amen. And there's a lot of things that move mankind. Amen. A lot of things that stir us. We can be moved by anger. But Christ was not moved with anger in this text. Christ was not moved because he was agitated. The Bible said he was moved with compassion. My friend, this simply means that, amen, he knew what their need was and was so stirred in his heart that he would not deny them access to himself. He would not deny them what they're searching for. I don't know what drove them to walk the seashore. Amen. Kind of in my mind as I viewed this week. Amen. I see somebody maybe with a looking glass. Amen. And they're looking out, Brother Jack. They're watching the direction that ship is going. Amen. And I mean they're burning up the seashore. Amen. And they are desirous. And when they get there, amen, Christ being moved with compassion, amen, means that he would not deny them the access they sought to get to him. But would rather sympathetically meet their individual needs. He was aware of what they needed. And being moved with compassion, he said, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm glad this morning we have a sympathetic Savior. Glad that as he looks out and we are not always aware of the needs that are in the building, not always aware of the needs of our friends or even, amen, I have learned even of our own children. Amen, and children are not always aware of the needs of their own parents. But I'm glad there's a Savior in glory. Amen, who is aware and sympathetic. Amen, a Savior moved with compassion. Amen, if you're here today and you're searching, if you're here today, amen, and you're scattered, if you're here today and you're in a situation you cannot help yourself, amen, and nobody knows anything about where you are, amen, I'm glad to report to you today, amen, there is a Savior in glory, amen, who is moved on your behalf, amen, and he will in his own way, yeah, amen, his own divine and perfect way, yeah, amen, with sympathy, be moved to help you with what you need. I'm glad today I have a Savior that loves me I'm telling you today, and we've got to preach judgment, and we have to preach against sin, and we've got to tell you that, amen, the Lord hates your sin. He hates my sin and your sin. Amen. And that we ought to hate it. Amen. And we got to preach those things and judgment and wrath and, amen, the wages of sin. And there is a side of God that all of that is absolutely true. We not only got to preach it, Brother David, we got to preach it often to this generation. But I want to remind you today that God is love. It's what the Bible said. God is love. And He first loved us, and because of that, amen, we can love Him back. Amen. And the fact that He's a sympathetic Savior, hey, He's willing to touch us. He's willing to meet us where we are. Amen. And we can touch Him as He touches us. Amen. We have a sympathetic Savior. Amen. He's not Allah in some distant land disinterested. Amen. He's not some God of this world that, amen, is too busy to take time to, amen, to be a part of us in our need. Oh no. Amen. This is why He came into the world that, amen, He might walk among us. That, amen. He took on the form of human flesh. That, amen. Robed in flesh. That, amen. Has become our sympathetic Savior that is touching each of our lives. Amen. And so there is the message that must be preached. That He is a Savior that has sympathy. Even more than sympathy, we use that, I guess, for the title, but even more than sympathy, a divine compassion. A love that only a Creator can have for His precious creation. Amen. God this morning loves you. What I want to show you this morning is three things in our text, three things our sympathetic Savior was moved to do by compassion that prove His love for us. Amen. I hope this makes sense. I'll give it to you quick and I'll be done. Number one, now you just going to have to look at it in the text, because if I was to go around and take a poll, tell me how you know God loves you. Tell me how you know the Savior is sympathetic to you. Oh, we'd get a lot of answers. Some would be really, really good answers and scriptural answers. And I don't want to make you mad, but they would probably be some stupid answers given. Amen. Number one, consider with me, our sympathetic Savior is moved with compassion. And in doing so, He preached them a message. Say, big deal. I want to remind you today not to undervalue the importance of getting a message from the Savior. They are searching. They are in need. They are scattered. They're just here and there. The Lord seeing that, the Bible said in verse number 34, and He began to teach them many things. The fact that He was moved with compassion, the very first thing that He thought, I need to do something for them. I need to help them. They need something that only I can give them. Amen. It wasn't a handout. It wasn't something, a material, a blessing or provision along the way. Amen. The Bible said He began to teach them many things. I'm reminded of the fact that, amen, this is what mankind needs more than anything. Amen, we need a message from God. Amen, if you're here today and you're lost, and you're without the Savior, the Bible says, amen, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen, when John the Baptist, one of the greatest preachers, amen, to ever lift the Word of God up and give a message out, Amen. The Bible simply called him the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. He came to be the, amen, a preacher with a message. Amen. God was showing that generation, amen, that he cared and that he loved them and he was interested in them, and he showed it by preaching them a message. Today, if you're lost, you need, amen, the gospel to be preached unto you. I wonder if the Apostle Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen, this is how God is communicating. Amen, the fact that he loves sinners, and he loves the drunkard, and he loves, amen, he loves the streetwalker, and he loves the dope addict, and he loves the religiously lost crowd, amen, he loves mankind, amen, he shows that by preaching them a message. Amen. In this generation, amen, that has been so devalued, that has been shrugged off, and not just by the world, amen, by many of a hireling that draw a paycheck, amen, from a church and yet refuse to stand, and preach one, thus saith the Lord. And what's sickening to me is that they do that in the name of love and compassion. Here's what the Apostle Paul said, am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? In other words, Paul said, one of the greatest ways I can show you that I love you and that God is showing that he loves you is, amen, not by compromise, not by holding back, amen, but by rather preaching what God has said in his word. Say, how do I know I have a sympathetic Savior? How many times, child of God, have you been lower than snake's knot? You needed something and you didn't even know what you needed. You was just trying to do the best you could, put one foot in front of the other. You walk in, hey man, the secret place one more time and say something like, Lord, I don't know if I can handle anymore. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it another day. You get your Bible out and you start reading, and God give you a message out of the old black book. How many services have you come into and you didn't know how in the world, amen, you was even going to get in the door, and somehow you crawled up in your pew, amen, you was there and you was dying on the inside, amen, oh, the sympathetic Savior came by, amen, let the preacher preach on something you needed to hear that day. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord began to move and you got a message that, amen, came to you. I'm telling you, amen, one of the greatest ways you can know that God loves you and is sympathetic to you is he's still giving you a message. Amen. Don't undervalue that. He preached them a message. He preached them a message. Amen. How many times does he give you exactly what you needed? Yes, they ain't going to get it in their synagogues. They've done heard him teach in the synagogue. Amen. Several times in the opening six chapters of Mark in our study. Amen. They hear him preach. They hear him take the word of God and give a message. And what do they say? They say, this man, we've never heard a man speak like this man. This man has authority. And what did they say? They say he don't preach messages to us like the scribes give to us. Amen. See, man can only give you, and religion can only give you so much of a message. They'll heap more burdens of religion on you than anybody can bear. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for that. He said, you bind men with burdens they can't bear, and I know they can't bear it because you can't bear it. Amen. I ain't talking about a religious message. I ain't talking about dogmas and creeds. Amen. I'm talking, my friend, a word from God. I'm talking about, amen, exactly what your soul needs. Amen. We breathe new life into you again. Amen. Give you strength and give you what you need. Amen. I walked in this morning in the bank. And Brother Jerry was back here and done opened and got the lights on. Amen. He's back there reading his Bible now. Acknowledge him. I said, good to see you, Brother Jared. And he spoke back for a moment. He said, I'm just sitting here reading about the valley of dry bones. I said, boy, we need the wind to blow, don't we, Brother Jerry? He said, you know that's right. Amen. I hadn't even thought about it till right now preaching, but Brother Jerry, what you read this morning when God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones, amen, he made him look out over that valley full of bones, said, amen, God said, son of man, amen, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, I ain't going to put my foot in my mouth. Amen. It looks beyond what I can do. Amen. And the Lord began. Amen. The Lord began to work. And here's what God did. And them bones did live. In fact, amen, them bones began to be joined back together. Amen. And the tendons and the ligaments began to grow. Amen. Sinew and flesh and muscle began, amen, to form a mighty army when that valley of dry bones, amen, stood up as a mighty congregation. Do you know how God put life, amen, in them bones? He made the man of God. Here's what he said. He said, you stand and you prophesy to them bones. You preach him a message. Amen. And the longer he preached and the more he prophesied, Brother Mike, the wind began to blow. I'm about to have a spell now. I'm talking about a sympathetic Savior. Amen. You ever feel like that valley of dry bones? You feel like you're dead? Have you ever felt like you're dead? Have you ever felt like, I don't know if I can live and make it? Amen. But somewhere along the way, amen, God sent a preacher back. Amen. And prophesied, preach to you. Amen. Exactly what you need till the wind blew one more time. Buddy, you're here today and you're, amen, you're still alive and you've made it and you've lived through the valley. Amen, because of our sympathetic Savior. Amen, that shows that He loves us through the message that He preaches. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. What you had done, had God not sent you a lifeline every now and then? Amen. What would we have done, had God not been moved to give us a message along the way? Amen. Glory to God. He preached them a message. Amen. Boy, I may not get off this. He preached them a message in a desert place. Hey, man, you ever been in a desert place? It's dry. So I don't need no message in my desert place. I need this and I need that. Amen. And that may be so, but Jesus ain't gonna let them get out of what they need for their soul. They may need a cup of water for their tongue. Amen. They're going to need and they're going to get some food for their belly. Amen. But the Lord knows if I gave them drink and I gave them a meal, amen, and yet I don't help their soul by giving them a message, what good is it going to do?
That's right.
Amen. I don't want to get mean right here, and so don't take it this way, but some of y'all take preaching for granted. You wonder why you can't get stable. You wonder why you go on searching. Oh, come on now. You wonder why, amen, there seems to be such a disconnect in your life to the things of God. Amen. The Lord, listen. Amen. The Lord knows where you are and He's going to send you messages to show you that He cares. If you let it go in one ear and out the other, you're missing out on the reality of knowing how much Jesus loves you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Bible said in that desert place, He taught them many things. Can I make a statement today? You ain't as smart as you think you are.
Right. Right.
Many things, man, there's a lot of things they didn't know that they needed to know.
Amen.
You know why? Oh boy, I'm about to preach. I feel it coming on. You should have shouted. Should have shouted 5 minutes ago. You know why some folk go on searching and scattered in their life just in a spiritual disarray? Because they think they know everything.
Amen.
Can't nobody tell you nothing. You know it all. You got her all nailed down and Christ is trying to give you what you need to make it. Try to give you something. Amen. To breathe life into your soul. Amen. To help you to make it along the way. And if you think you know everything, you're going to miss what Christ wants to do in your life. Pastor Philbeck said it. He said it in this pulpit as many. He's preached here more times than, amen, any other preacher except myself in the last 9.5 years, I guess. He said it in this pulpit so many times that everything good in my life is a result of preaching.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm saved today because of preaching.
Amen.
God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. Buddy, I'm telling you, since He saved me and preaching got the gospel to me, amen, that saving message in us so needed. But Jeremy, I'm aware tonight, I'm aware this afternoon that, amen, it's been preaching that, amen, has kept my life on the straight and narrow. It's preaching, amen, that has kept me from blowing out altogether. It's been preaching, and my soul has been searching it. Amen, in need, it's been preaching that has built my faith.
Amen.
Everything good in my life's been the result of preaching. You know why? It's because, amen, early on after God saved me, I learned how to sit up on the edge of my seat.
Amen.
Every service and go, Lord, give me something.
Amen.
Man, I ain't got to preach it in my favorite style. Man, I ain't got to preach like I preach. Or, amen, it ain't about style. Just feed me from the book.
Amen.
I've heard men get up and barely get above a whisper. Everybody else going to sleep because, amen, his style was boring them. And I sitting there getting my soul fed.
Amen. Amen.
You listen to me? Amen. If you're going to make it, if you're going to be in tune to our sympathetic Savior, you're going to have to realize He's going to reveal His sympathy by preaching a message to you.
Amen.
Amen. When's the last time you got a hold of that?
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, why do we major on preaching around here? I ain't against programs and things. We probably need some of that. I won't say a lot of that. We probably need some of that. Amen. We're praying on some things. But people call us and say, we get all kinds of questions. What do you got for young people? Well, the main thing we got for them is preaching. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I mean, you know what? Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but we got preaching.
Amen.
Then they'll call and say, well, what do you got for old people?
Preacher.
Well, for old people, we got preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
Got a whole lot of it.
Amen.
More than you can stand. But we got it. And then, Brother Jack, they'll call us. What you got for single people? Well, I'm glad to tell you, we got preaching.
Amen.
Somebody help me.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
What do you got for drunkards and dope addicts? Oh, I'm glad you asked, because we got preaching for them too.
Amen.
What do you got for young families? You know, we got to have some ministries for young families. Oh, we got that covered. We got preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Got preaching for fat people, skinny people.
Amen.
Preaching for some of us bald people. Amen. And people like Scott, born with a full head of hair. boy was born, I seen him 2 days later. I was jealous of that sucker already. Shared the wealth, man. Bald people, people with a full head of hair, we got preaching. Rich people, poor people, preaching. White people, black people, tan people, yellow people, even if they're such a thing as a purple person. You know what we got for them? Preaching. Why? Because that is how the Lord expresses His love to mankind.
Amen.
You can say what you want. I think it's wretched, and I've done messed this message up. I should have been done already. We'll finish her tonight. But I think it's wretched what this generation of so-called preachers have done. They have sold out. They have sold out and they have compromised. Buddy, they are offering. They're offering. I'm not against maybe even all the things they're offering, but they have made an exchange and said, hey man, we'll give you this, but we're going to withhold the thing that Christ wants people to have the most. Amen. You do remember the old song. We ought to sing it out here every now and then. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know what that song really sings? If I can put it in adult versions, it's been preached to me that He loves me. That book has been applied through preaching and the message is settled in my heart.
Yes, sir.
I know that He loves me because He's been speaking to me through His Word.
Amen.
If He didn't love you, He wouldn't send you a word.
Amen.
I'm trying to wind down. I'm starting to. My mind's a-running. Proverbs chapter number 1, He loved them so much, He said, I called unto you.
Amen.
I reproved you. I gave you instruction.
Amen.
You know what God is saying? I loved you enough to try to get your attention along the way and to give you what you needed.
Yes.
But you didn't care that I loved you that way.
Amen.
You see, before this crowd ever got their fish and their hush puppies, He preached to them.
Amen.
This generation, Brother Jerry, they don't care. They're gonna say, push the preaching to the side. Just give us the things.
Amen.
Well, you would never truly know how much God loved you if He didn't give you a message every now and then. He preached them a message. Well, number 2, I'm not going to preach it this morning, but he prepared them a meal. He knew they were hungry. He knew what their need was, and God knows what your need is. And He took the time to meet that daily provision they had in their life. I'll preach that tonight if the Lord will help me. But then He provided them a miracle. The way that He did the whole meal thing is miraculous.
Amen.
5 loaves, 2 fishes, up to possibly 20,000 people. That's a miracle.
Amen.
According to John's account, and I'll preach this tonight, I can't wait to get there. I'm going to magnify Christ. When them disciples, when all was said and done and they collected up them 12 baskets of fragments, here's what John said. They said, of a truth, this is that prophet which was said should come. So what's that mean? Back yonder in the days of Moses, Moses said, here's what God told me to tell y'all. He gonna give y'all a capital P prophet. And He's going to be likened unto me. Amen. When He comes, what is one of the main things Moses is known for?
the manna that came down from heaven.
Amen.
He fed them. When they seen what Jesus did that day, it reminded them of what Moses had prophesied. They seen that miracle and they said, of a truth, now we know more about him than we knew before. I'm glad today to report to you, you have a sympathetic Savior. Amen.